perfect person to trust. I've done that. The perfect person to trust. And so we, in effect, make people idols, don't we? Because that's God's place. But we want this perfect person that doesn't make mistakes, always corrects things just right, and is very dependable. And we search and search and do not find. We make gods out of people instead of disciplining ourselves to know and trust our Heavenly Father. And on this issue of people big, God small, I want to just take you briefly to two people in the Old Testament. The first one that I want to talk about is Eli. You remember Eli? He did some good. I think he helped Samuel grow up to be a godly man. But what does it say about his sons? It says that his sons made themselves vile, and he didn't restrain them. And so, logically, it's saying that he could have done something that he wasn't doing. And so, it seems like people were big, God was small. Or we could think of King Saul, right? That's another one that we often go to. He says, "Well, we just went down there to Amalek or wherever it was, and the people started wanting to do this, and so I just did it." Well, really, you were the leader, Saul. God was small. God had said what he should do. He didn't listen. God was small. People were big. Okay, we need to move on. So one of the assigned things was helps for trust on the ministry team. And I will just talk about this a little, but I think that we need to, I hope you can make it, what's the word, relevant to your situation. You're all called to be leaders in your home. You and as husband and wife work together. Some of you work together on school board teams. Think about it. But what did Paul say about working together and trusting on a team? He said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So we think of teamwork, trusting. The more we feel that the work of faithful church life is basically up to me, the less we will trust our fellow workers. Consider these couple verses I want to read to you. Genesis 50, verse 24, and Joseph is talking. He says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." So Joseph said, "I'm going to die. I'm passing away. But I know and I trust, I have faith that God is able to carry his people forward." Genesis 24, verse 40. This is Abraham's servant speaking. "And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son." No, actually, it was Abraham. He said, "I am entrusting you." I think it was Eliezer. "I'm entrusting you to go, and the Lord will lead you to a wife for my son. I don't have to do it all by myself." Okay, so briefly some helps for teamwork, trust. When I can be easily approached. Okay, there's not this fear between us, walls. When I can be easily approached. When I join the team in going for the root rather than the quick fix. And this is very, very real because we'd like to just move on, fix it quick. But if it's a quick fix and not a root fix, guess what? Pops right back up. Okay, so I need to join in teamwork in that. Another one, when I'm open with the rest of my team members about my flaws, because you know what? They will see them anyway. They will see them anyway. Example, maybe the ministry team, one of the leaders moves ahead with something innocently thought that it was supposed to be, we were ready to present it or something, and finds out, oops, it was premature. So he should fix that with the rest before they find out in a roundabout way. Is that right? I think so. That would build trust. Okay. When we work on a team, when we're in positions of responsibility, we agree, we want to move ahead on vision. It does not work if one of the team members is on the edge. So if you understand what I mean. So we do not promote a double standard. The leaders are here, the others are here. But if I can explain myself, neither should the leader be on the edge. If something needs to be addressed, it will not be effective. Okay, willing to work hard. That builds trust, doesn't it? Willing to work hard. It's been a temptation for me not to want to work hard. I think about it in you know, sometimes we put up sign-up sheets or whatever, and am I predictable that I'll sign for the easiest thing? Like, I'll bring the chips, you know, real quick. I'll sign up. Or, you know, we can do the same thing on the team, right? We can say, well, I'm busy. I'll quickly take this job so that I'm busy and so that you don't assign me some hard job like approaching someone about their clothes or something like that. Okay, another one. When one team member... No, actually, this is in the context of what I'm talking about. When one team member is giving himself to the work with reservation, this will deeply affect cooperation, forward momentum. Okay, need to move on. One other thing I want to mention here is the lack of self-defense. So self-defense that has been big for me at times, and I think one of the reasons, obviously, is just the pride we've talked about. We don't like to think of ourselves in the way the person coming to us says we are. Is that right? Like, ooh, that's not me. I was just sure not what I want to do, but someone is seeing that. So let's not be defensive. That destroys trust. Church work is heavy enough without ministers defending their families, etc. When the Lord is our trust, we don't need to fearfully defend ourselves if God is big. Okay, let's move on. Helps for trust a little more between the ministry, those in responsible ordained positions, and the lay members. Matthew 20, verse 28 says this, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So, you lay people, brothers, sisters, must see selfless service, that our hearts are toward your good. And think of yourselves in responsible positions, school teachers, parents, the people you're leading have to see that your heart is toward their good and that you're not self-serving. Malachi 3:16 says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." So trust is built by interaction. Trust is built by fellowship. It's not by hobnobbing with just a certain select few. So one of the biggest helps, I think, for trust is just giving up control. We're thinking of leaders, someone in a position of leadership. Giving up control in the sense of, oops, I don't want to have this hard conversation because it might put me out of control. Does that make sense? And so we need to learn to be a good listener. And we also need to learn that we don't have to have this quick answer right away, that we don't have to act wise when we actually aren't wise. Does that make sense? And so think about that. Give up control, surrender, relax. Be good with saying, well, I'm going to have to dig into that. I'll have to get you back an answer. Put away the fear of looking dumb or the pressure to always have that instant wise answer. Proverbs 16:3. This is a good verse. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord. And then it says, and thy thoughts shall be established. So to me, that's a picture of we step forward in trust. We put our foot into the water. That's committing our works. And then we think wisely. But God sometimes doesn't give us all the answers up front, does he? Okay, Matthew 23:5-8. We will not take time to turn there, but Jesus is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees there, and he's saying that they love to be noticed, they love to be seen, and they love to be called names. And he said, but don't be called rabbi, rabbi. And I believe it was in there that he said, for ye are all brethren. So I want to underline that this, not this double standard hierarchy deal, but the lay members must observe that ordained leadership is a place of responsibility and it's a place of service. It's not status. It's not privilege. So we believe that we should not make a show of rank and pomp. We don't put on our special vestments when we stand behind the pulpit, or we don't make a show. Tell us if we do. We want it to be the chiefest are the lowly servants. And sometimes leaders can intentionally or unintentionally cultivate a professional air, if you know what I mean. Like, we're just a little bit aloof. We'd rather not enter into that discussion with you because we're up to here already. Maybe. Something for us to think about. Am I trustworthy in getting back to people? Keeping schedule, keeping commitments, and also when I fail in that, humble when I mess up. Not, you knew I was busy. You know, you were kind of a bother. Or humble when we mess up. And anyone in leadership, on teams, whether it's ministry or otherwise, should not intentionally be hard to get a hold of, if you know what I mean. Just we call them, they just never respond, and you just can't count on them to get back with you. Maybe it's because, like I said, fool, or trying to avoid stress, but we need to cultivate giving ourselves as servants, being dependable. Okay, let's move on to trust builders. And many of these were taken from your survey, not all. One thing I thought of was, if we stay faithful through the intensely demanding rigors of life, that is a trust builder. Life in its rigors. Maybe it's when we face deep disappointments that we look to God, not to what people will think, or not focus on myself. Maybe it's when we're under scrutiny or under criticism that we're faithful. We focus on God. We focus on our need of the brotherhood. Do I express appreciation for others? Okay, that builds trust. Some more from the survey were these. Would leaders make planned and stable decisions? planned and stable decisions. So in other words, not this quick emotion-driven decision that needs to be backed up on repeatedly. Another one, not just there on Sunday. Or being open to correction was another one. Asking us youth where we are in purity or our love for the world versus love for God. Another appeal was honesty in all areas of life, meaning home life, church life, and personal life. Another one, the use of scripture in teaching principle. A welcome for any wandering sheep that sincerely wants back into the church. Along with that, a passion for the lost. Okay, here's one. Leaders checking in when it's going good, and not just in the bad times or times of correction. And that is good. Leaders can become focused on the bad and not the good, or the negative instead of the positive. One thing I thought about that is sometimes in these areas you get an appeal from someone in the survey, and then something else almost seems contradictory. For example, the call to enforce standards, that builds trust. One person said, well, but then this other, whoever it was, I don't see hardly any names. The other one said, well, don't just come to me when things are going bad. Well, what if is the leader supposed to wait for 3 months till he has a positive connection and then spoil trust with 30 other people? Not sure. You pray for us in that. That's pretty tough to know sometimes. Another one. Just read it like they said. Grabbing the bull by the horns based on the word of God. So when we know what's the right thing, we just go ahead and do it. Willing to make changes in the church to help us be more Christ-like. Okay, we'll move on now to some trust breakers. So as pastors and as other leaders, we need to follow Romans 12:18. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Very pertinent to this subject of trust. We know there will still be folks who will at times hide behind, well, I just can't trust you. But we dare not take this lightly. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Am I doing all in my power? Am I doing all in my power by God's grace to build that bridge, to be a trustworthy person? And one I thought of on this issue of trust breakers is, no, I think I mentioned that already, but this majoring on emotion-driven decisions that repeatedly need backed up on. So another one would be soon angry. Leaders that are soon angry, leaders that show tension, show heat. Now, we know there's a place to be passionate about something. But the question that comes to me, how do we keep a gentleness when truth is at stake? So, truth is at stake. There has to be a way to keep a calmness and a gentleness and not get red in the face. Another trust breaker, never or very seldom admitting wrong. Or conditional love or performance-based love. So we as leaders in places of responsibility, and this can be a good one for the home too, that we're working on up an issue that we really wish would change. And do we hold the person at arm's length till they perform? That's performance-based love, and this they can feel that you don't really love me, it's just that you want me to do the right thing. So do we pray for a love like Jesus that sought the wandering sheep? Okay, briefly some more here. Little spiritual discussion. It was a trust breaker on the survey. Disrespect. Not including members in decisions. When I can't read my leaders. Now that has to do with what I talked about earlier, doesn't it? About that professional air, or maybe we don't want to make ourselves emotionally vulnerable because that obligates us then to do something about what we know. It can be a real temptation. Spirit of fear between us, another trust breaker. Not keeping confidences. When someone says what was once wrong is now right. Listening more to people than to God's word. Listening more to people than God's word. And I appreciate what one brother wrote. He said, when someone is broken, I trust them to challenge and confront me and not be intimidated. Well, that was good for me to think about. So he was saying that a broken person is like on the board there. The people are real small and God's big, so we're going to follow God and make ourselves vulnerable. We're going to challenge and confront. Some more trust breakers. Too good to address an issue in his own life. Not unified as a ministry team on decisions. Lack of empathy. Just doing what they say, no question asked. Another one, not dealing with sin in the church. Not respecting the weaker brother, demanding respect. Not enforcing standards. Or here was one, it said, leaders watching me, then quickly averting their eyes when I see them, leaving me wondering, what did I do wrong now? Not respecting group decisions. Now, this was more between members. Not respecting group decisions was a big trust breaker. Not confessing and forsaking sin. And I took it to this person to mean that someone that repeatedly maybe confesses and wants to get rid of sin, but actually doesn't get around to forsaking sin. And then the last one was disrespect towards authority. It was a trust breaker. So hopefully that was helpful. In conclusion, I want to think about trust again. I believe, as we looked at, there are legitimate times when we can't trust, like the example I gave of the mother handing over her baby to someone. But by and large, I concluded this, that trust is a result. Trust is a truth gauge that shows the quality of my relationships. It's a truth gauge that shows the quality of my relationships. The more I fail in rolling my cares on my Father God, the more I will lack deep and trusting relationships with other people. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. So start building a bridge across those straits of fear, intimidation. Put your foot into the water. Many times we'll be pleasantly surprised. I thought of Elijah and the widow, and I think Brother Dave, you probably covered this. I wasn't in on all your classes, but when Elijah came to the widow at Zarephath there, he asked her something very unusual, didn't he? He said, just make me a cake first, and then you can make one for you and your son. Sounded selfish, didn't it? But God had something he wanted to give her, something he wanted to show in this situation. So put your foot into the water. Many times we'll be pleasantly surprised, just like that widow was. James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. God bless. Let's kneel for prayer.